Thank you, Jane. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Thank you that it's relevant, that it speaks into topics, even topics like technology. Father, be with us this evening. Help us to understand more of this subject. But also, Lord, would you help us to have a really big view of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers us. Amen. Last week in our Tech and Me series, we thought about the purpose of tech and how to use our our use of technology needs to be brought into subservience of our Christ-given purpose to love God and love our neighbor. Tech is wonderful, but we cannot get distracted from our purpose. But tech isn't just wonderful. Tech also makes us promises. Promises of a better life. Hope for the future. Let me just run through a few examples so you can see what I mean. Here's what seems like a silly one to begin with. The Roomba robot vacuum cleaner. The Roomba robot vacuum cleaner will set you back a minimum of £300 if you get a proper Roomba one. And it makes you certain promises. Two promises, in fact. A, you'll no longer need to promise. And you'll get to promise. You'll no longer need to spend time vacuuming. And you'll get to spend that time you've saved on leisure activities. Roomba robot vacuum cleaners promise happiness and leisure. Or how about the existence of influencers? People whose job it is to maintain a picture-perfect social media presence. Create content and get sponsored to do so. According to a recent poll, social media influencer is the second most popular profession that 11 to 16-year-olds wish to pursue for their careers. This does kind of make sense because it's a vision of the good life that gets displayed. Beautiful people, beautiful places, fancy food, fun, happiness, money, generosity. Or how about SpaceX? Now, I'm sure many of you won't have failed to have noticed the recent billionaire space race. Jeff Bezos, the Amazon founder, has a company called Blue Origin. And he's trying to start an industrial space base. Richard Branson has two companies, Virgin Galactic and Virgin Orbit, aimed at space tourism. Elon Musk has SpaceX, which he founded in 2002 with the stated intention of colonizing Mars. He says this, from the SpaceX's vision page on their website. You want to wake up in the morning and think the future is going to be great. That's what being a spacefaring civilization is all about. It's about believing in the future and thinking that the future will be better than the past. I can't think of anything more exciting than going out there and being among the stars. The future, the good life for Elon Musk, looks like exceeding planetary limitations, delivering happiness through space travel, and providing a life raft for when this planet fails. It might sound like sci-fi fantasy, but actually it sparks very real desires in people and actually has billions upon billions poured into it every single year. Here's another one. Meta and the metaverse. I don't know if you took notice of Mark Zuckerberg's announcement in October last year that the Facebook family of companies, that's Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus, and a whole load of other ones, were going to be renamed the Meta Platforms. Zuckerberg also announced that they were working towards the metaverse, the expansion of the internet to create a virtual world alongside and intersecting with the real world. A place where we would socialize and work and relate to one another virtually. And if that sounds bonkers as well, well, it's already happening. It's already happening. A Decentraworld is an online world where people are buying and selling virtual property. One plot of land, on Decentraworld last year sold for $2.4 million. The popular game world of Roblox features Nikeland, which has been called the first step in metaverse commerce. The American rapper Travis Scott recently performed in a virtual concert attended by 12 million people. Bloomberg estimate that the metaverse will be an $800 billion market opportunity next year. The promises are multifaceted, better connected, exceeding the limitations of human nature, financial health. And these are just four examples. We don't have time to talk about transhumanism and its promises of eternal life, or artificial intelligence and its promises of labor-free lives of leisure, or the relentless stream of entertainment deceiving us into thinking life is all about being entertained. The question for us tonight is, are the promises of technology worth believing in? Are they worth believing in? Is there a better way? Are there better, more reliable promises to trust in? To which I want to say, yes, there is absolutely a better way, trusting in the Lord's promises. Jane read out Psalm 20 to us. I hope you still got your Bibles open. Let me give you a quick run through of Psalm 20. Psalm 20 is a psalm of David, the king of Israel. And you can imagine verses 1 to 5 being sung by a congregation which has gathered to send off a king and his army to battle. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. And then as we get to verse 6, the congregation quietens down, and David himself stands up, and he leads the next part of the psalm. So verse 6 is on the lips of David himself. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. David is declaring his trust in the Lord to provide victory. And then the congregation take over with a final cry in verse 9. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. But it's those middle two verses of David with which we are occupied tonight. Let me read verse 7 to you again. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's really easy to miss what's being said here from our 21st century position. Chariots and horses were not merely machines of war. They were the pinnacle of military technology in the ancient Near East. Egypt was feared, at least in part, because of its chariots. Now, this is the equivalent of saying some trust in intercontinental ballistic missiles, in tanks, in drones, in fighter jets. Some trust in military tech. But David and God's people along with him trusts in the name of the Lord. They trust in God, the sovereign creator and sustainer of all things, and the God who revealed himself to his people and made promises to them. See, the context might be about military might and military technology, but it's got a general application to us and our tech. And that trust should be the same for us today. We trust in a victorious king. We trust in the Messiah, God's promised rescuing king, whose victory over sin and death on the cross means we have a sure and a certain hope for the future. All of his promises are yes. And just think about all of the promises and the hope that we have in him. I'll put just a sample list up on the screen. The punishment for our sin has been taken by him. That's a promise. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Death has no sting, and the grave has no victory. Our king will be with us always until the very end of the age. He will never leave us or forsake us. He made it possible to be part of God's family. He's gone to prepare a room for us in the Father's house. Thanks to him, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us day by day, transforming us into the likeness of Christ. He will return in glory. While we wait, his grace is sufficient for us, and his power is made perfect in weakness. Our future will be perfect. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because we will live with him forever. All those promises are trustworthy and true. They are certain. They are far greater than the hope that technology offers, and they are far more secure. Go back to Psalm 20 for a moment and look at verse 8. Verse 8 is David's assessment of those who trust in military tech. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we will rise up and stand firm. The implication for our tech? It can't ultimately satisfy. It cannot ultimately keep its promises. Transhumanists are searching for gospel hope in all the wrong places. You can spend £300 on a Roomba robot vacuum cleaner, and it might well work, although robot vacuums are notoriously inefficient. that it might work, and its work might free up enough time to deliver on its promises, but it's unlikely. But even if it does free up a load of time, well, our fallenness means that it's perfectly possible that the additional time will not be spent well. SpaceX might well make it to Mars. At some point in the future, a colony might well be established, but it would be a colony populated by broken, sinful people like us. The same tears will still be shed. The same pain will still be felt. Now, sinful people living among the stars are still sinful people in need of a saviour. And the metaverse promises a lot, but it's riddled with issues. There's already concerns that if the internet gave kind of greater opportunity for bullying and harassment through anonymity and trolling, then think of how much more damage a virtual world could do. You can hurt people through a 280 character tweet. Just think of how much worse it could be in an immersive virtual world. And actually, there's no replacing face-to-face human interaction. We're made for community, and we're made physical creatures. And so we're made for physical community. See, if we trust in tech for our future, if we put our hope in tech, we will be brought to our knees. Tony Reinke, I said last week, I've got a rule, if Tony Reinke writes a book, I read it. Tony Reinke's sobering comment on this in his latest book on tech is that in the end, innovations leave hearts unsatisfied, souls lost, and bodies cold in the grave. But if we trust in God, if we trust in the promises he makes us in Christ, we will rise up and stand firm. Those who put their hope in the victorious King and in the sovereign Lord will not fall. The hope we have in Christ and the promises of the gospel are ultimately satisfying. They save souls and they steal victory from the grave by giving us life forever. So what does a deliberate digital discipleship look like in the light of the promises of technology? Let me suggest just three more things as we end. They're short. The first is this. Spot the con. Spot the con. If tech stirs our desires and makes us promises about the future, then we need to become adept at spotting when those promises are false. We need to learn to spot the con. So maybe asking yourself a series of questions would help in relation to a piece of tech. Here are three. What vision of the good life does this tech offer? Now, how does this piece of technology say that it will change my future? And how does the gospel offer better promises here? So spot the con, but also count the cost. Count the cost. There is an inevitable cost to adopting any new technology. If a Roomba robot vacuum offers me dual promises of you'll no longer need to and you'll get to, well, they also come with dual costs of you'll no longer be able to hoover the house. Now you'll have to upgrade and replace. Now with Roomba, that might not seem like a massive cost. You'll no longer get to hoover the house. I don't do much hoovering anyway. That's an aside. With Roomba, it might not seem like a massive cost, but the point is that nothing is cost-free. Self-checkouts promise me convenience, but at the cost of human interaction. Kindles promise me cheap, vast libraries of books, but they cost me the feel and the weight and the smell of a real book. The metaverse, should it come to fruition, could cost me real physical relationships. Real physical relationships in the town that God has placed me in. See, some costs are worth bearing. Others are not. So ask yourself, what are the costs to these promises? What won't I be able to do anymore? What will I always have to do going forward? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Finally, and most importantly, focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. You see, if technology makes promises which cannot ultimately satisfy and which it cannot ultimately keep, and if Jesus, our victorious King, makes us better, perfectly satisfying, unshakable promises, then it stands to reason that we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the better thing. Robert Murray McChane was a Scottish preacher in the 1800s, and he famously said, "For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely. Live much in the smiles of God." I think there's an awful lot to be said for applying that advice to tech. For every promise of technology you hear, remind yourself of 10 promises that Christ has made you. For every TikTok or YouTube short you see of Elon Musk speculatively describing the future, remind yourself of 10 sure and certain promises that God has made you. Every time you're browsing on Amazon and you see a bit of tech that you think will make your future better, consider 10 gospel promises before making that purchase. And actually, this is where I want to leave this short series on tech. Not actually focused on tech, but focused on Christ, who is better by far. The gospel makes us such wonderful promises and is completely trustworthy and true. And so gazing upon the promises is a far better way for us to end our time together. I'm going to put the list we had earlier on back up on the screen. I'm going to read through it slowly, and then I'm going to give us some moments to quietly reflect by ourselves, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Let me read the list again. The punishment for our sin has been taken by Jesus. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Death has no sting, and the grave has no victory. Our King will be with us always until the very end of the age. He will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus has made it possible to be a part of God's family. He's gone to prepare a room for us in the Father's house. Thanks to him, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us day by day, transforming us into the likeness of Christ. He will return in glory. While we wait, his grace is sufficient for us, and his power is made perfect in our weakness. Our future will be perfect. No more death, No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because we will live with him forever. Father God, thank you so much that all of these promises are sure and certain. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ and the gospel promises that are ours. Father, help us to be able to spot the con of text promises. Help us to be wise at counting the cost. And help us day by day, moment by moment, to keep on Christ. Amen.